are settling in here on New Shit at CKUT 90.3 FM. That's CKUT.ca on your Google Chrome browser or Firefox browser. And you're not allowed to listen to this on Internet Explorer. That first one was a single off of the new Waxahachie album, Out in the Storm, which comes out on May 19th, I think. Something like that. Oh, no, July 14th. So gotta wait a little longer for that. That was the single Silver. Cool sound there. And this next one, we've got a special guest in the studio to get things going on New Shit. He's going to play a couple songs for us off his upcoming record, which is coming out on my birthday. It's a personal gift to me, it's clear. His name's Emmett McCleary, and this next song I'm going to dedicate to him. It's off of his favorite album of the year thus far by the one and only Jay Somm. It's her first, like, full-fledged project in a way. She sort of holed up for 3 weeks to write and record everything herself, and it's a exciting new release. We're gonna hear the single The Bus Song. I've got a lot of rock stuff to get things going. I've got a lot of beats for the second hour, and it's gonna be fun, and I'm excited to have some live music on air. The time's now 3:05 p.m. in Montreal. My name is Donovan, and I'll be hosting New Shit next week too, so get ready for that. I got 4 hours of really different content, I hope, for New Shit here on CKUT. One of my favorite shows. I've been itching to host it all semester. I've had a class, which is a total buzzkill on Monday afternoons, and I'm excited to be here. So here's The Bus Song by Jay Somm off of Everybody Works. You can catch that on Polyvinyl Records, and that Waxahachie album comes out on July 14th, so watch out for it. Got a bunch of rock stuff. Keep it locked. It's 3:05 on CKUT.
Like a firefighter's when I take off his shoes, and all that's in between are not so loose. I cut them just to see you through. I can be whoever I want to be. Take time to figure it out. Thank you.
bit of scary exit music there on that Fog Lake track. That's off their new album, their local outfit. Super good. And they've been out on tour in Europe and stuff, so doing some big things nowadays. That's off their album Dragon Chaser, which was released around February. It's one of those pay what you can albums up on Bandcamp, I think. So go check that out. Maybe spare some change and support those guys. And then before that, of course, was the one and only Jay Som with the Bus Song. Really, really good song.
So good.
had a little bit of a jam session in here as this band was warming up. And speaking of which, we're going to transition now. We've got some guys in the studio. This is a project that it's under Emmett McCleary's name, and he's accompanied by a friend. And we'll hear a tune from them right now, and then they're going to talk about it after, and we'll do a little bit of an interview. And we're also going to premiere a track, so
stay tuned.
Exciting material here. So you guys good to go?
Yeah. The song is called Amelia. I have Sam Eastman with me on the lead strings. I'm on the rhythm strings, and hello to everyone out there listening. There we go.
The stars and all the places we know to exist, but we won't go too far from home. Living in bloom in your backyard on a warm afternoon in the early part of June. It will all be growing soon, and you know that you'll be growing too. Side, but you still go so far from home. Living in leaves, snapping branches from the girl in the woods. She never holds back when she should. Only now it's understood that she's going gone for good.
Dig that. What can you tell us about that tune, Emmett?
That tune was written about a friend of mine that passed away in high school, and sort of at the time that it happened, I had a lot going on in my life and wasn't really able to process it fully, and I wrote this song in first year of university, and it helped me, I don't know, think more about it and come to grips with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's strange how people pass in and out of your life, and you know, in an instant.
Yeah, that's obviously a very tough topic. Do you find it hard to write about sort of sad topics? And I mean, it's not unheard of in pop songs to write sad songs that sound really happy, but I don't know, like there's...
Yeah, that's the classic juxtaposition, I feel like. I think it's actually harder to write an upbeat song than it is, lyrically anyways, than it is a sad one. I don't know whether that's because sadness feels like more authentic, maybe, or it's more believable than like, you know, I mean, it's very easy to get corny if you're writing a kind of like the upbeat stuff. Paul McCartney is a guy that I think really was good at it, but there aren't too many other people on the list.
Yeah, he's a slightly rare talent, is Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I would say I'm a fan. I like, he's not so new, but.
So, I mean, what else can you tell us about the songs on this project? What other sort of topics do you address?
They're mostly love songs.
Shameless.
It's a good variety of stuff, though. Like, you know, like, you've got this, and you've got, like, M Avenue, which is just about, like, going outside and having a fun time, which I personally like a lot.
Sure, so. Yeah. I guess this record for me is mostly about, I guess, dealing with depression and trying to figure out ways to be happier. And I mean, There's a Better Something is sort of like, I wouldn't call it like a mantra, but like the idea to remain optimistic, even if you're feeling down. Musically, I was listening to a lot of like warm 70s records, a lot of Joni Mitchell, some cheesier stuff too, some Hall & Oates. Abandoned Luncheonette, I think, is a colossally underrated record, and you should check it out. I guess those, as far as the recordings, which we will hear one of later, I think, that sort of warmth was really informative to the sound.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty big improvement in sound. I've heard one of your other projects, you used to go by Easter.
I did.
But Google proved a bit too difficult to navigate with that name, so it's just Emmett McCleary now. But
right.
Yeah, what has changed in terms of like recording process?
Sure.
That was one you did in high school, so I mean, I'm sure it's a tough animal, like learning to write songs and also learning to sound record, and I'm sure both avenues have gotten better.
Right, yeah. Well, I had a ton of help recording this record, actually, from my father, who he ran a recording studio in the 1980s and now does sound mixing for documentaries for TV. If you've seen some episodes of Nova or Frontline, perhaps he may have been behind the mixing for those. And so we have a little setup in our basement. As far as the playing, it was still mostly down to me, although Sam over here played bass on over half of the record.
Yeah.
I called in more musicians this time because if you listen to the first record where I'm playing all of the instruments, I really am an awful bassist, and I wanted to have some tasty lines on this project, and so I called in Sam, and I've got my friend Walt plays lead guitar on one track. We got a guy to play pedal steel on one track.
Oh, nice.
Which was really fun. I was on a bit of a country kick when I did it, and just to have that very ethereal but also kind of rootsy vibe was really cool. So yeah, I guess as far as changes to the process, including my father would be one. Getting some outside help with musicianship would be another. Those are probably the big two.
Hmm. And Sam, you guys are high school buds, am I correct?
Yeah.
So you've been with Emmett for a while. Have you noticed anything as like a collaborator that's changed in his music?
I mean, it's pretty much everything he already said. Like, he's gone from being like kind of entirely DIY to like having like a good network of people that he can call upon and like play on his records, which like, I mean, like, I think that's definitely good, and I like that there are a lot of people out there who can, like, add their own, like, flair to his work and stuff like that, myself included. But I don't know, like, I just think that, like, the songs are still as good as ever. Like, I've always been a fan of, like, his work. Like, before I met him, I was just, like, this total, like, prog and, like, metal nerd, and he turned me on to, like, the nuances of, like, pop and, like, retro rock and stuff, so I'm definitely glad to be part of this, like, collaborating network.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Nice.
Nice words.
Nice words from your guitarist here. And so you guys also were out on tour recently, and you're going on another one, right? How has that experience been?
It's been fun.
I would say like it was fun, but it was also kind of like one of those like best of times, worst of times scenarios.
That's right.
Like...
Yeah, we've got a story about Eastman's amp actually.
Oh, yeah.
we were playing basically the last tour, the first couple dates were a little tough. Montreal was fantastic. We had a wonderful time. We played with Sweat and BB Cutie, both great bands that everyone should check out. Mm-hmm. For the kickoff, and you know, we hit the road feeling great. Philly went okay, but then New York, we played basically to an empty room. It was a 21 plus.
Yeah. My dad was there.
And some of your family, right?
Yeah, my dad and my aunt and uncle were there because they all live in the area, but that was about it.
Yeah, and so, well, like, we had fun playing to them, but it was
still weird.
Sort of a demoralizing night. And then, to make matters worse, Eastman, because of course he had his family there and wanted to spend time with them, he understandably wanted to leave, so we were like, that's fine, we'll pack up. And in the process of packing up, we forgot his amp at the venue.
Oh my gosh.
And came back for it. Was it 2 days later?
I think 2 days later.
It was 2 days later, and
the worst part of it was we called the manager, whoever it was, to see if the amp was still there. And he initially told us no, and we like tried to describe it to him, and we were just like, it's like this atypical Fender. It says Excelsior on the front, and he's just kind of like, yeah, I know what a Fender Excelsior looks like. he really gave us the impression that it was like gone forever. And then we just go into the place on our way to the next city.
It's sitting right
and,
there.
Yeah, it's just right like, in the friggin' room, and we're just like, dude. Like,
so from that point on, the rest of the tour was great. I had a lot of fun playing to my hometown in Boston, our hometown,
yes,
and Western Mass, and... Yeah, looking forward to getting out there again.
We're hitting up the Midwest this time, which is going to be real interesting, I think.
Ooh, the flyover states, as they say.
Yeah, we're playing a show in Lexington, Kentucky, which I
wow
never I didn't know existed before I started booking this tour. But our guitarist is from out there, so our guitarist for this tour is from out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's cool. We'll do a bit more tour questions maybe, but let's hear another tune here on CKUT. It's 3:25. This is New Shit, and we've got some guys in the studio talking it up, shooting the shit, and playing some cool tunes. And you can check out Emmett's record. What's the record label again? Sorry.
Oh, I'm self-releasing, actually.
Oh, self-releasing.
Yeah. So, yeah, just go on to emmettmccleary.bandcamp.com if you like what you hear and want to hear more. Or yeah, actually I did set up a website. It's a little glitchy right now though, so we're gonna hold off on that one. But yeah, emmettmccleary.bandcamp.com is a good place to go.
All right, cool. Let's hear it.
Cool. The song is called Candy. Their bedtime have taken to the
she won't say so. Candy knows, but she won't say so.
Rip-roaring solos there from Sam Eastman on the guitar.
Oh,
and
yes.
Emmett McCleary is the man at the helm of the project, so to speak. What can you tell us about that tune?
I guess it's about social anxiety, feeling uncomfortable at parties. It's something that we've all dealt with at one point or another. I don't know. I'm not good in big crowds. And so I guess it's just about that, and that's all I really have to say about
it. Something we can all relate to, you know.
Fairly self-explanatory.
I don't know. I'm a fan of crowds when I don't know anyone. So
yeah,
it's perfect for concerts, but then that scary moment when you see someone you know.
You have to interact. Like, oh no, get me out of here. No, it's funny that you say that. I definitely can appreciate. I guess because there aren't really any stakes with strangers, you know? You can sort of just talk about whatever and that can be it, you know? You don't have to see them again.
So I'm interested in, I was reading another interview you did somewhere, I forget where. There's been so many. you were saying that apartment life has sort of like affected how you sing little bit.
It really has. Yeah.
I guess you could just elaborate on that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've developed just by virtue of like having people around me all the time, because I grew up in a suburb and, you know, had a house and could really make as much noise as I wanted. And being here and being very aware that I'm surrounded by people in other buildings who have lives and want to sleep and things like that. I've sort of developed a quieter, more breathy singing style, which I'm ambivalent about. I don't know if I'm so much a fan. I think I'd rather get back to the more full voice thing. But it's also I started playing mostly acoustic when I got here as well. It does sort of affect the material you write. I wonder when I graduate and move somewhere new how that'll affect the sound. Montreal definitely has an impact as well. It's cold winters, man. They get to you. You want to talk about sad songs. That's there's a whole bunch in that.
Yeah, and what about, like, is it tough when you're singing a lot just with guitar alone? Is it tough to, like, jump in front of a crowd and, like, I don't know, that must change the way you sing a little bit.
Yeah, no. Well, that's sort of why I want to get back to the full voice thing, because I'm not fully comfortable with it anymore. And I often do find myself sort of singing a lot more loudly at shows, and it's a bit of a strain, and the pitch goes out a little bit. I have less control in that range, so I'd like to work on that. But I've started enjoying playing live a lot more, in large part because of, you know, Sam and the rest of the band. They're all jazz guys, and I bring them, jazz guys are really good musicians, and I can bring them the songs, and they just interpret them in a whole other way, take liberties that I would never have taken, and it's just really exciting to see them in a different context, so I still like it.
Sam here is adding in some cool melodies. It's fun to see you guys like interact.
This is we've only done one of these like duo type sets before. It's always interesting, and like the last time we did it, I was kind of basically just playing the straight parts that I came up with for like lead shows, and that didn't really work. So, you know, I decided for today to come up with like some hybrid, like picking stuff to kind of fill in the low end and, you know, kind of explore territory that I've not really gone into with guitar playing yet.
What other guitarists do you know can play bass and guitar at the same time?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, do you find it tough to even, like, writing a song that you're singing, like, quietly in your apartment, and then a bunch of jazz guys jump in and probably add their own flair? I mean, I don't know.
You've had your complaints about overplaying and whatnot.
Oh, I'm being called out on the radio. Yikes. I'm very particular about my about what the drummer is doing. That's usually my one gripe. Mm. But then again, like, that's usually in rehearsals. When it happens live, I think anyone loves a good drum fill.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
yeah, you don't want to stomp that out live.
Yeah, but, exactly. Just as long as tempo and pocket are still there, I'm pretty flexible.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, I like, especially if you're recording something, I mean, you don't want it to, I mean, I think like jazz guys are always, you know, it's different every time. It's like their whole,
which is, it's interesting seeing them adjust to pop. Yeah. Where you play the same thing over and over and over again and don't really deviate very much.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have said that it's a very different skill set, which I would agree with, but I would say that jazz seems much, much harder than just like learning a song and playing it a bunch of times. But they're not actually, I mean, outside of Eastman, they're not really involved so much in the recording process still. I guess for the next record, it remains to be seen like how they'll play into it. But I am a bit of a control freak in that realm, and I like to sort of have a say over what parts go on the record. So often it's just simpler for me to play them. Mm.
So I guess we're going to premiere a track.
Yeah.
Honest You.
Yeah.
So, I am going to run over to the auxiliary cable and plug in my computer and Emmett is going to describe to you what this song is about.
Sure. So remember earlier when I was talking about how it's hard to write a happy song lyrically. This is my attempt. This is a happy love song. This is me really trying to express to someone that I love them, and it's pretty upbeat. It's got a bunch of major chords. Yeah. it's got a key change.
Yeah,
it's got.
Fun fact about this song: when Emmett sent me the first demo, it was called Milk Potassium.
That is correct.
Yeah,
yeah. No, the demo was done in my dorm room first year. I sent it to him. He sent me this wild bass part that you're about to hear.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. It's like my proudest bass line on the whole record, so I'm excited for
everyone. It's really sick. Yeah. So yeah, just listen for the bass. That's all I'm gonna say.
Awesome. Well, I mean, we gotta elaborate on this name. How did you end up with a name? What was it? Milk potassium. Bananas and milk cereal.
I think that it was something like we were having some discussion about. So, yeah, my friend Anna I credit her with that name. She was in the room when I was doing it, so I really no comment on that one. I plead the fifth.
All right, great. So yeah, I mean, we're excited about this album. It's going to be on SoundCloud and Bandcamp.
That's right.
On May 12th.
May 12th, and you can pre-order it now if you'd like. Mm-hmm. There will be cassettes, and of course, waves and MP4s and all sorts of other good
files. Perhaps FLAC.
Yeah, or MP3s. Sorry.
You will not be catching any FLAC from the audiophiles.
Oh, no. You nice. Went there. All right,
great. Yes, and you have a show on Friday, right?
Yeah, I should plug that. We're playing at KGB on Friday with two Australian bands, Heart Beach and Quivers. Both really good, both Australian, both worth checking out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come by. Come have a good time. It's spring. Come dance. All right.
Yeah, totally.
All right, awesome. Yeah, so here's the track again. This is Emmett McCleary with Honest You off of his new album There's a Better Something, and I hope you enjoyed that performance. If you're just tuning in, go back to the archive and check out a pair of songs from these two dudes, and we're going to continue on with new shit. We got a couple more rock tracks and then some other stuff for the second hour, and I'll be giving away some concert tickets, so tune in I'll be back on the air. My name is Donovan. Thank you for listening. And one more shout out to Emmett for coming into studio today.
Thank you so much for having us.
shark that eats every fish. You're a shark that hates everything.
Hello and welcome back to studio here at CKUT 90.3 FM. That's CKUT.ca on the internet, streaming 24 hours a day in stereo. One more shout out to Emmett McCleary. He came in, played some tunes for us, and he's releasing a record on May 12th. And all those tunes are going to be on it, so I strongly suggest you get out there and check that out. One more thank you to him. And yeah, we're just burning off some quick tunes here on New Shit. Again, all of this music is from the past 3 months, and we even have some singles off of releases that have yet to come out. So exciting material here. It's one of my favorite shows to host on CKUT. My name is Donovan, and if you want to hear me again, I'll be hosting Jazz Euphorium this Wednesday evening. I got a really interesting interview with Jamie Branch ahead of her show on May 5th. But that's enough about me. We just heard the tune Caliphone off of the EP Creep by No Joy, local shoegazy band. And before that was Girl Pool, not local, but they have a new album coming out called Power Plant, which also comes out on May 12th. So get excited for that. That was the single It Gets More Blue. And they've got a pretty big change in sound. For that group, they used to just be two lead singers, one with a guitar, one with a bass, and they would do like these weird harmonies, but now they've sort of got a full rock band sound, so we're excited about that. And before that was another local band by the name of Smokes. That was a single, Four Souls. I believe they're out on tour right now, so maybe go Google that. They're sort of a part of the Ojai Collective here in Montreal. And before that was Vagabond with The Embers off of her album Infinite Worlds, which just came out on Father Daughter Records. Strongly suggest you head out and check that one out. And we heard a tune. We barely heard a tune. Sorry about that. Messed up some sound stuff on that. But hopefully you made it out. That was the tune Honest You off the album There's Better Something, again by Emmett, who we just had in studio. Next up, we've got an exciting tune, in my opinion, which is going to bridge the gap from rock to more beats-oriented stuff that I'm going to do in the second half of this show. And this is a tune called Look Like That by Sneaks, who I managed to catch last year at Suoni Peril Popolo. She just it's just one woman by the name of, sorry, I'm terrible with names. Her name is Eva Mulchan. It's her project alone, and she plays bass, and I think she's got some synthesizers going on this album, and it's pretty interesting. It's called It's a Myth. It's really short, so if you like this tune, go check it out. It'll only take like 20 minutes out of your day. And then, we're going to hear from a local rapper and some local DJs and plenty of other things. Thank you for listening to New Shit. The time is now 3:56. I think I'm going to play two tunes, and then I'm going to jump back on the air, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away for a show. I'll get you all updated on that, and hopefully you call in after I announce the contest, of course. Hopefully you call in and claim them. Thanks for listening. This is CKUT times 3:57, and we're about to hear Sneaks. Keep it locked.
What do they look like? They look like that.